Welcome, everybody. My name is Prashant Kumar. I own my company, My Realty Gains. We are apartment syndicators. Just a little bit of background about myself before I get into the real topic of today is I have technology background. I've had technology background, technology and management background for the last 25 years. I own about 100 units in my personal portfolio. Besides that, I have been involved in about 1,500 units in GP capacity, general partner capacity in last five years. And my competency is to remove redundancies. I do underwrite my deals meticulously. I have been exploring multifamily, and in addition, I started to look into assisted living market space 2 years ago. I must say that I'm a mentor and I'm willing to share knowledge via meetups and social media interactions. My goal is to continue to do more syndications in multifamily and assisted living space in future. The topic, I would request you to hang on till the end. I mean, this is going to be about 20 to 25 minutes of conversation. So basically, today's topic is benefits of passive investing. Okay. I hope everyone is doing great and everybody is safe with their families. We'll start from the basics and find answers to a few questions. Why should we invest in real estate? What are its benefits? And how is the cash flow generated in real estate, right? So we are here to examine our passive investment goals. And I'm going to talk about what are the real benefits of doing the passive investing. So we should start asking again some of the questions like, is our current job is liberating us or strapping us? Are we stuck in our current job in some ways? Will our current savings enable us to sit back and just relax for future? Is it possible from our current savings or not? Or like everybody else, we wish to have second source of income coupled with negligible operations. Is that what we are thinking to have financial freedom? So take a pause and find an answer to these questions, and you will understand that passive investing is the answer to some of these previous questions. You don't want to get involved in an investment where you become the active member. If you become the active member, you are creating a job for yourself. In real estate, passive investing relates to investing capital into a property without day-to-day landlord's baggage or property management's responsibility. So no tenants, no toilet, no trash. That's what the passive investing really means, meaning that there's somebody else who's going to take care of all that baggage, all that work for you. And you are there to collect your equity, return on your equity. So we act as an equity partner and are there to provide funds. And we earn bulk returns on our funds. All the hassles of dealing with brokers, tenants, and banks fall on the shoulders of the sponsor or a syndicator. Syndicator is a professional who knows how to handle these bigger properties, who know how to find these investment opportunities, and who has connection in the market to find right property managers who can manage the assets. So then why should we invest in multifamily? The question is, why should we invest in multifamily when we have so many investment vehicles, right? So let's talk about it. I mean, unlike the volatile stock market, which might end up to zero in some cases, multifamily real estate is recession resilient. When we invest in real estate, we are investing in tangible assets, something which has real value, right? Moreover, we are not excessively limited by uncertainties of the market. And the rent on the property proves to be a constant source of cash flow. Another major benefit of investing in real estate is the tax benefits that it comes with. We can take an advantage of depreciation or cost segregation when we do the investments in real estate, in commercial real estate. So the point again is, yes, there are many, many vehicles available, like a stock market. Typically, stock market is more of a capital gain or a volatile asset. It's a paper asset. But real estate is a tangible asset, and it's always cash flowing as long as we have the tenant in the property. And additional advantage of real estate is the tax benefit that we can get through depreciation or cost segregation, right? So I'm going to talk about multifamily housing, the benefits of multifamily versus some single family investments, right? So there is an economy of scale that we achieve in multifamily, right? In a single family, your tenant leaves, you are out of rent for a couple of months. In multifamily, if you have 100 unit apartment complex, a tenant leaves, doesn't matter. You know, we already underwrite at 90 to 95% occupancy. So we are assuming that some people will be coming and some would be leaving, but we are getting regular cash flow from multifamily, right? Irrespective of somebody leaving or not leaving, you're always getting a regular cash flow that does not happen in single family investment. So you have regular cash flow. You have appreciation. Appreciation is there in single family as well as in multifamily also. However, multifamily is measured by the amount of income it is producing, not like single family. A single family home, for the same single family home, it's up to you. You may charge $2,000 rent or you may charge $1,500 rent, but the value of the house remains whatever it is. But in multifamily, if you are improving the net operating income of the asset, you are actually improving the value of the asset, because multifamilies are measured. The value of the multifamily commercial asset is measured by the income that they produce. And the biggest advantage, which I said, tax benefit, because this is a commercial asset, you have cost segregation and bonus depreciation benefits in multifamily. I'm not a tax CPA, but I know that, you know, at a very high level, a single family can be depreciated over 27, 28 years. A multifamily commercial asset can be depreciated over 30 years. But there are components of that asset which can be depreciated over 5 year, 7 year, 15 year period. So that is called cost segregation. We do a cost segregation study. We define components which can be depreciated over 5 years. Some can be depreciated over 7 years. Some can be depreciated over 15 years. And that all depreciation can be put on an accelerated path to give more tax benefits to real estate investors. This is something which is not available in single family assets. Even if it is available, it is not that effective. Right. So with multifamily, when you go into multifamily asset, you know, you are getting the cash flow, you are getting the appreciation, you are getting the tax benefits, you have the pride of ownership. When you invest in a multifamily project, you are part owner of a project. So you do have pride of ownership. You're not owning a single family home, but you are owning, for example, 10% of a bigger building. So you have pride of ownership. On top of it, your asset is managed by professionals. Professional property manager is managing the assets. You or you and I, who are not professional property managers, do not know how to manage the asset. We struggle. We spend a lot of time. But those property managers, they manage the asset professionally. Another advantage of multifamily investing is banks are looking at those projects, because bank gives 60 to 80% money they are lending on those projects. So they are watching us. In single family, bank give you the loan based on individual's debt to income ratio. While on a commercial asset, bank gives you the money based on the debt service coverage ratio. Basically, bank wants to make sure that you guys are doing okay. And bank, you know, and the debt service coverage ratio is at least 1.25 times all the time. They want to make sure that you are not, you are moving correctly on the property. So they are watching us. They're constantly auditing us. So it is being managed professionally. It is being looked after by folks who are bigger than us, you know, banks. And on top of it, SEC is watching, because, I mean, making sure that, you know, it is not a Ponzi scheme, right? So SEC is watching all these bigger projects, and you are owning, as a passive investor, you own part of the pie, and you are sitting, you know, and watching everybody else run the show. So in my mind, investing in single family, meaning you are creating a job for yourself. If you are investing in multifamily, passively, you are really working towards your generational wealth. Have you ever seen 15, 16% return coming out of a single family project? I have not seen it. Maybe you have. If you have, that's very good. But in multifamily, over 5 year period, you know, typically, you know, we don't even look at the projects which are giving us return at least 1.75 times. So at least 15% of returns, that's what we look for when we get into those projects, right? 15% annualized. And basically, when we get into these projects, there is always a preferred return. Investors get money first. Money speaks first. So those who are investing the money, whether a sponsor is investing the money or an individual is investing the money, they get the preferred return typically on any project. So management's incentive is to make sure that property is running smoothly and property is producing income, so that investors get paid first and then they also get paid some amount, because everybody's working for money and it's a business proposition. But because those who are investing, they have higher priority, returns go to investors first, right? So basically, we don't need to be an expert or have experience in investing to become a passive investor. These are some of the concepts which I just talked about. For me, it is no brainer. I invest in multifamily in other syndication, and there all I need to know is the property, you know, is good enough, and underwriting of the property has been done correctly. And I invest and then I sit and watch what's going on. Every quarter I read the reports, and many times I get the check in the mail. So this is mailbox money. And when the time comes to exit from the property, I get that upside check, the bigger check, which compounded in total gives me at least 15 to 17% return. I mean, that's like the minimum. I mean, I have not seen projects where people would invest, where annualized cash on cash is less than 15%. So these are some of the concepts for multifamily. Let's talk a little bit more. What would you prefer? I mean, would you prefer a stable 9% or a volatile 7% return? You know, and it's no brainer. You will say stable 9%. Over the last 25 years, multifamily real estate sector has provided an average annual return of around 9%. Whereas annual return from the stock market is still at 7%. This is something which it's not something which I have made up. This is something which research shows. Over the last 25 years, the multifamily real estate sector has provided an average annual return of around 9%, whereas annual return from stock market is still 7%. Multifamily is a commercial project, means getting the loan approved from the banks on the income producing projects is a lot easier task, right? And additionally, you know, we have lesser risk than paper assets like stock market. We are not the sole owner of the investment. There are multiple investors. So typically an LLC is formed and investors are the partner in that LLC, and that LLC would own that asset. So just as returns are shared, same will losses and expenses are also distributed among partners. So basically, as I said, you know, you have the pride of ownership, right? So multifamily is typically a cash flowing asset because of the high demand of rental properties by tenants. We have seen that all millennials are going towards rental properties than owning single family homes. That demand for the rental property has always been increasing in the last decade, right? And these projects are typically group projects, right? So we get to pick the experience and expertise of the syndicator. So there are many sponsor groups who are devoted to this particular area, and you know, as an investor, we kind of pick which sponsor do we want to invest in, right? So, I mean, that is at a very high level. There are two types of investors in a deal. One is active investor, you know, those who are general partners, and the other is a passive investor, right? A sponsor or a syndicator when a sponsor or syndicator doesn't have enough liquidity, they reach out to the investors, right? So investors are the equity investors. The core job of passive investors is to provide funds for the deal. And fund can come from the sponsor also. They do come from the sponsor. We always invest in our own deals. So core job of these passive investors is to provide funds for these deals and then sit back and relax and enjoy the primary portion of the return. When I say primary portion of the return, meaning that they are making money and they are not involved in day-to-day operations. That's how it is designed. I mean, they can be involved if they want to be involved, but there is no need for them to be involved because the responsibility, the onus is all on the sponsors or on the general partners, on the property managers, on the bank. All that work is taken care of by syndicator. So, I mean, overall, real estate is a great opportunity for generating cash flow, and then taking advantage of experience of these sponsors. You know, these sponsors are experienced in what they do. These property managers, these banks, you know, the SEC, all the professional high level, you know, professional insurances. So we end up earning huge returns without compromising our day-to-day life, right? So I'm not compromising. I'm not creating a second job for me. I'm cutting a check and I'm just accepting returns. You put your money in the bank, the bank gives you 0.01%. You are actually devaluing your money because of the inflation, you know, 3 to 4% inflation. So we have to find investment vehicles. I mean, everybody is busy, you know, all the lawyers, you know, big folks, everybody is busy. And if we put our money in a vehicle which is backed up by security, you know, there's no other security better than real estate. You put your money in there and you enjoy, reap the benefits of passive return. And on top of it, you reap the benefits of depreciation. That depreciation can reduce your tax liability in the long run. So these are a couple of things which I wanted to bring to everybody's attention. That's all I had to talk today. I will basically, at this point, I would ask anybody if anybody has any questions.
Yeah, Raghu here. Can I ask a question?
Sure, Raghu.
So, that was good information. Thank you for introducing the topic and giving the benefits of multifamily investment and talking, comparing it versus single family or owning individual apartments. I think it sounds good. I want to understand a little bit more about what the interactions would be between the investor and the sponsor and the syndicator. You mentioned a few names there. How is the interaction between them? That's first part. Second part is, do you get to decide which properties you want to be involved in, the location where it is? That's the second question. And third question is, do you get to be part of the decision when to exit out of it?
Yeah, so all three questions are very good. And I'll start with the second question, which is location. The property, because these are bigger projects, right? So typically, sponsor is always lookout for these properties. Sponsors look at 100 properties before they end up deciding on one, right? So it is a 3 to 4 months project typically to even find a property. Once the property is decided, then sponsor brings that property to the market and start raising equity from investors. So at that point, investors have the choice whether they want to invest in this property or not. Investor really doesn't have it's just one project. You know, you have the project, you say whether I want to invest in this project or not, basically.
Okay.
So that's the answer to your second question. The answer to your first question is when sponsor brings the property to the market, the sponsor does a lot of webinars, talking to investors, you know, capital raising. At that point, typically there are a lot of calls made, discussions are happen. Syndicator explained everything about the property clearly to investors. And at that time, if investor is ready, investor has to review the private placement memorandum, and investor has to sign the operating agreement on which agreement of the company on which he becomes the partner. So he subscribed to that operating agreement. So really speaking, once investor knows that this is a deal and I want to invest in, it's a matter of maybe 5 to 10 minutes to review a document and sign it. So it's up to the investor in how much he wants to interact with the sponsor. Like, you know, you are interacting with me. I mean, I'm also a sponsor, but there is really no need to interact. For a comfort sake, for a warm shake hand, sponsors are typically available to talk to investors as and when it is needed.
What's the syndicator's role and what is the sponsor's role?
So sponsor and syndicator are really the same same meaning, same word.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Whereas sponsor is indicator, both are same.
Okay.
So you talk to sponsor or syndicator, and then you decide whether you want to invest in the project or not. And at that time, basically, it's up to you. How much interaction do you need? I mean, you have more questions. Sponsors are there to answer any questions, basically. So one thing you have to realize that you are signing, you are reviewing the private placement memorandum, a document which describes all the functioning, all the projections, everything is written in the private placement memorandum. That's something investor has in a common language talked on a webinar or something and discussed with you. But you are reviewing, and the way PPM is written, as if the sky is going to fall apart and cows will not come back home tomorrow and there will not be any water or electricity. Anything that can go wrong in the world, typically lawyers write in that document. And the basic purpose of the document is to make investor aware that any potential risk that could happen on a project. So, you know, there may be natural calamity, everything, they would write. And typically sometimes, those who are new, they sometimes get scared also. And it's okay. I mean, everybody takes their time, but those who are seasoned, they know what it is. And they review the PPM and they sign, they subscribe to the operating agreement. Basically, they become part owner, limited partner on the company which owns the asset. After that, investor's job is to wire the money to escrow company. Your money never touches the sponsor's bank account or syndicator's bank account. It goes directly, investor's money directly goes to this escrow account. And that's where, when the closing happens, escrow company pays it to the seller. So that is the extent of involvement from a limited partner, which is an investor. After that, all the work starts. Sponsor, take over the property. They start doing the work, renovation as per the plan which that they had already put together. So they start with all the work on the property. Property management company takes over, and sponsor's job is to communicate what is going on the property at least on a quarterly basis. And depending on the business plan, sponsor issues the return to investors either quarterly or yearly, whichever way they have decided on the project. So from an investor standpoint, an investor can pick up the phone and talk to a sponsor anytime. And sometimes sponsors do some webinars to tell what is going on the property, quarterly or 6 month by, monthly webinar, something like that, to keep the investors informed about the property. So that's question number one. Now, question number three, what is the decision making? So limited partners do not have the authority to decide, because typically these are bigger projects, and a limited partner probably would come in with, maybe 100,000, and it's a $10 million raise. So limited partners can hear their concern and sponsor listen to them, but by the operating agreement, limited partner do not have the authority to exit a project. They can request if they want to exit. Maybe their equity can be swapped with somebody else, but they cannot force the sponsor to sell the entire project.
But they can get out of the investment if they need, or if they feel like it's not something for them.
They may request it, and typically sponsors try to accept that request, because and only in a scenario where they can swap the investor, because you know it is money, right? Some money has to come from somewhere. So if there is another investor who's willing to come in, so sometimes they do the swap. We have done swaps in past, but it is like a CD. You know, if you have put your money in CD, you can break the CD. You may end up losing some portion of your appreciation, right? Because that time, because you have not sold the property and appreciation time has passed, some appreciation has happened, but a new investor comes in, he would like to take, he takes that appreciation because your share is still at 100, you know, let's say $1.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, it is possible. It can be done, but you know, that investor is at loss. Most of the time, investor is at loss. They have gotten some return from the project because of, you know, preferential return, but they have not gotten appreciation because appreciation is realized only when the property is sold.
Yeah, yeah.
So
makes sense.
It is possible, but not recommended.
So let us others ask questions.
Yeah.
This is anybody else.
Yeah, anybody else can ask questions, you know, no problem at all. And these are very, very general stuff that the benefits of passive investing. A little bit more about passive investing. I've created a 7-day email course and I have a passionate passive investor club.
Yeah, the other question I had was, is there a minimal amount that one would need to invest in this?
So as I said, these projects are bigger projects, right? And typically our raise is like anywhere from $5 to $10 million. For that kind of raise, we want to keep our number of investors as limited as possible because it becomes very cumbersome. If we keep the minimum as 5,000, we can imagine how much work we'll have to do to coordinate and all that. So typically on these projects, where the raise is 5 million plus, our minimum is anywhere from 50 to 100,000.
Okay.
So that keeps the pool smaller, right? I mean, that keeps the pool, typically on a project, we have about 50 to 75 investors. That keeps it at least manageable. If we keep it very small, then it becomes a little bit challenging for us.
Sure. It's more work also. And then you own a very smaller part of the pie as well. So
Right. So we typically, that's what, you know, we do is we try to keep it as, about 50 to maybe sometimes we do 75,000 also, like the current project that we have. Our return is, our minimum is 75,000.
Okay.
So that's how it works. I mean, anywhere from 50 to 75,000. That's what I would say.
So how long do you think it approximately takes the sponsor to raise the 5 to 10 million once they identify a project?
So typically that is approximately, you know, at least 2 months worth of effort for investor to raise. There are many bigger investors who can cut a check for 100,000 or not 100,000, $1 million, but they are investors, you know, who just always give the minimum on the project. So yeah, it is typically anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks time frame. So once the property is identified, it is at least 2 to 3 months to close the property.
Yeah.
Right? So in that time frame, sponsor actually works on trying to raise equity by themselves or through their equity partners.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, that's all I have.